Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Demple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Now, Chris, it's an interesting day for the markets to kick off this week because we have pretty much everything heading higher to start this week. Let's start off with the U.S. equity markets because those are garnering, well, a pretty strong buy throughout the day right now, where we have the Dow that's up 2.5%, just over 600 points. The S&P is up about 70 points. NASDAQ is also up almost 2.5%. Chris, to you, was this bounce back for the markets very much expected because of just how bad last week was?
Well, it was. I told people Friday morning, Corey, that I thought that we were going to get a near-term bottom that day. I advocated that we get out of the short position that we had left and actually added a couple of stocks back to my list. Now, does that mean I think that the coast is clear? Absolutely not. But I do believe that we were at a near-term bottom. Most of the signs were there, not every single one, but most. You also had that we got to take with a grain of salt some pension fund rebalancing Friday, and I think that's part of today as well, where at the end of the month, you know, if they're underweight stocks, they buy a little bit more and whatnot. But you've still got things out there, Corey, that tell you all is not well. Despite how much the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are up, small cap stocks, the broader market, is doing not nearly as well as that. So that suggests this is all high frequency traders and momentum traders trying to scalp a few bucks off of this counter trend rally, whether it lasts just today or goes farther, we don't know yet. You've got that. Treasuries have not sold off much at all, which is another indication that you don't have a risk on attitude coming back. You just have a trade for as long as it lasts that has come back.
Well, and that's the interesting thing about today, too, is that we're actually seeing gold move up, bonds, yes, moving up again. We have the 10-year that's down at 1.09% as we're chatting, reached as low as 1.06% today. This does just simply seem like the fact of money getting put into the markets, but not aggressively just into the broad averages. Discuss the bounce back in gold, too, because that also took quite a hit at the tail end of last week.
Well, it did. I mean, everything took a hit. And as I said to you off mic, what people need to prepare for, and I just sent out basically the most comprehensive sector issue on the gold sector I've ever written, is out. And one of the things I pointed out there is that you need to understand that by and large, the people that in recent past bought gold, and especially that bought the big gold stocks and the big gold ETFs, are the very same people, by and large, who ran the NASDAQ and the S&P up. So they're going to be joined at the hip. If, as I expect, we get a broader counter trend rally for the stock market, and just sticking with the S&P 500, we make up half or two-thirds of the loss from the high, gold stocks will probably go along with it to some extent. But if after that, as my gut tells me is more possible than not, we get a rollover again and a deeper decline over a longer period for stocks as the market continues to reprice itself for a more subdued environment, possibly for recession. Guess what? At least initially, the gold stocks will turn around and they will go right back down again. So people need to understand that. You know, I am very bullish long-term on gold, but there are two major dangers near-term right now. The first I just told you, and the other one, which I guarantee you folks, you're not going to hear from your Pied Piper guru out there, is wait until the World Gold Council comes out at the end of this month with their first quarter demand trends and see just how much jewelry demand for gold has been annihilated by this coronavirus. That's not going to be taken well. And guess what? You know who's going to react to that news? Not gold bugs who want to slough it off, but other investors who look at it and say, oh God, I don't want gold after all.
Yeah, that continues to be the, I think, debate that's going on within some gold bugs is who's holding these gold positions. And I think the tail end of last week especially showed that it is a lot of traders, people that will clear out of these positions very quickly. That's not uncommon for a major pullback in when it happens in broad averages for everything to get sold. And I think that was the biggest debate heading into when the market would move down aggressively, is would gold get sold off too? The answer last week at least was yes. But again, that wasn't out of the blue for what you were expecting, right?
Well, no, and I told you when we did a recording on Tuesday, and we were just about at the peak still for gold and certainly for GDX and GDXJ, I had already told people to lighten up that morning, and I told you after Tuesday's close that there was margin selling starting already in those ETFs and in related things. And so that was your warning back then. This is why you can't listen to people who start from a position of gold has to go up, gold's going to be a safe haven, gold stocks are going to hold up if the whole market goes down. You've got to empty your head. You've got to look at things dispassionately, look at the evidence in front of it. And any market watcher who didn't start as a religious gold bug could have and should have seen at the beginning of last week what was coming. Now, look, I am astounded, as I told you later in the week, that a lot of good smaller companies got caught up in the same selling, that everything got hammered as much as it did. I didn't expect the decline to be that bad, but I did see it coming.
Fair enough. And yeah, pretty much every stock across the board, when it came to the metal stocks, got hit hard at the tail end of last week. But hey, they're bouncing back fairly aggressively now, but that goes hand in hand with the U.S. equity markets. Chris, right now, when it comes to how you're managing your portfolios for your subscribers, is this now just playing kind of swing trade short term, trying to skim off whatever profits you can when you see these big either sell-offs or even buybacks such as today?
You know, for those that want to do that kind of thing, fine. I don't give those kind of recommendations, Corey. I try and give advice to my members that does not require them to sit in front of their computer all day. But maybe, you know, once a day or so, figure out if I've said to do anything differently and what my broad views are. Look, we lightened up early last week on the gold space, wisely so. I wish I'd have recommended selling more, but I'm not worried about it long term. We're now completely out of the Treasury ETFs because that is wound so tight, it's asinine to see how fast the 10-year note went all the way down. Actually, the low early this morning was as low as 103 on a 10-year note. That's just not sustainable near term. And in fact, and this is going to lead to some interesting market moves and reactions, at least for a while if we get it. If the Fed, which it shouldn't do, but they may, does cut rates next week by 50 basis points, you will see the long end sell off very, very hard. You know, you'll go back, you'll go from 103, you'll rise 20 or 30 basis points on the long end if the Fed gives the markets a 50 basis point cut, because they will take that as the Fed is going to catch everything and not let it fall. And in the wake of that, I mean, that should help gold and gold stocks some, but it would do way more to boost copper, lithium, energy, industrials, and all the rest of it, if we get that. So understand, folks, that this move in treasuries is the most extreme example in history of not as much voting for recession as it is traders getting out in front running the Fed, knowing that they will force the Fed into aggressive easing. Whether the Fed should or shouldn't do it is beside the point. They'll force them into that. So that's my attitude on treasuries. So finally, to answer your question, like I said last week, we got our last short position, shorting emerging market stocks. That's gone. No short positions left. The highest cash position we've had in quite a long time. And so with that, I'm going to sit back and watch, not be in a hurry to do anything. I saw two absurd examples of prices of stocks that I had previously recommended. We made money on them. I told people to sell them at far higher prices. I looked at the prices on Friday and I said, this is nuts. Even if the market does end up going lower, here's two to add back now. And I'll do that along the way here. But The broad picture, do I think that the stock market overall has bottomed? I would not want to make that bet right now because I don't think it has.
Okay. But following up on that comment you made about the Fed, do you think, A, that they will actually cut 50 basis points, or what would the reaction be if they do their standard 25 basis point cut?
The market will throw a bigger fit. You will see the 10-year plunge below 1%. If that's all the Fed does, because they will think that that's not enough, the Fed's not taking it seriously enough, and so forth. Yeah, I heard an interesting comment that I really want to pass on, because this is key, Corey. In a normal economy, in normal circumstances, we would never, years ago, have heard that the reaction to what is happening right now, and with the stock market still very huge gains over the last decade or so, you would never have entertained the idea of the Fed lowering interest rates, especially as low as they are already in this kind of a thing. I heard somebody say late last week, and this is what I want to leave folks with, that the best thing that you should do if you're listening to this and you're a healthy person and you don't have any other conditions, you don't fret about getting the flu. If you get it, you get it. When you look at the statistics of this coronavirus, healthy people who get rid of it or will get rid of it. Overwhelmingly, the people who have died from this thing are people that are old, that already had conditions and whatnot, which happens with the garden variety flu. So to some extent, there is a lot of hype and misinformation out there. So a good doctor will tell you today, don't go out and get a mask and think that you've got to put yourself in a plastic cocoon. If you're healthy, and if you get it, fine, you get it, you let it work its way through. You don't run out and get 18 different antibiotics and so forth. If the Fed believed, this is the takeaway, if the Fed believed their own crapola rhetoric that the U.S. economy still is basically healthy and that global markets are still basically healthy, they would come out unequivocally right now and say, look, we don't need a rate cut. The discount window's open. If there's stress in the payment system, we'll take care of it. But otherwise, you know, how the hell can we inoculate markets against the coronavirus? How can we, by cutting interest rates, make somebody engage in economic activity that they're not going to do right now? No matter, we could take all 150 basis points away and take the federal funds rate to zero tomorrow, and it is not going to change people's plans. All right, they should come out and say that. The reason they don't is they're lying to us about the true state of health of the economy and of the markets, because their bloated economy, their bloated skyscraper of cards that they created for us, is like that proverbial 80 or 85 year old person that already has a heart condition, already has trouble breathing, and might catch the coronavirus. That's what they're trying to inoculate. And that tells you all you need to know, because if the economy was healthy, they'd make us, you know, sit back and let it work its way through, but they can't.
All right. Well, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. I do agree with everything you're saying about this coronavirus and how, well, everyone could get it. And you know what? It's kind of a garden variety cold or flu. But that being said, it has caused havoc and it has disrupted supply chains around the world. So there is this economic impact. But fact of the matter is, you and I clearly have the same outlook on how this coronavirus will or could play out. But hey, these markets, they're kind of a beast in their own right now. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this Monday. Have a great rest of your day. We will chat throughout this week. Thanks, Chris.